Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15b. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord. Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought he surely would come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he not actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This phrase that is said by the servants of Naaman is marvelous. Has he actually said to you, "Go do something"? In English, it sounds an awful lot like what the devil says, kind of contrary-wise, to Eve in the garden. Did God really, actually say? But some have translated it differently. Some have said, "It is a great thing," or "If a great thing had been commanded to you, then surely you would have done it. So why won't you also do this, indeed, this little simple thing that he has said to you to go and wash in the river?" But our translation has drawn our attention not to the disparity between what the expectation of Naaman was and what God actually did, but has drawn our attention to the word itself. Just as at the end, Naaman's attention is drawn to the word of God and to the prophet that is in Israel, how indeed this has shown to him what God is doing and how great and how true he is. Is it the word of God that is great? Yes, that's our contention. In fact, that's our contention also when we look back at what Eve failed to do in the garden, to believe the greatness of God's word, to receive his promises, to know that when he has said something that is better even than what her mind might have noticed in the moment, what her eye had thought she saw, what her ears had heard from the devil, the serpent there. This event shows us that it is indeed a great thing that God would speak to us at all. What we have in the Holy Scriptures is the Word of God. It is His words to us. It is the account of His actions through Israel, through Moses, through Abraham, finally in Christ Jesus. We say this all the time in morning prayer. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. And now, in this last day, he has spoken to us chiefly by his Son. And of course, everything in his speaking directs us not just to God speaking to us some general way or leaving behind a record of his existence, but that in fact he has sent his Son, his Word, into the flesh in Christ Jesus. Now it is more than only this, that in the Word of God we encounter something from him, and that is good enough, I suppose. No, it is that when his word is spoken to us, when we read his scriptures, we find his gracious character behind those words. In fact, God has bound himself into his words and his promises to us. Again, he has spoken to us by his Son. He has sent his Son into the flesh to redeem us. He has sent his Son to show us how serious his words are, but that they are indeed for us. He has come into our flesh to redeem us. And so it is that we Lutherans do not pit the Word of God against his Christ. We do not pit the forgiveness of sins that is spoken to us against the atoning death of Christ Jesus that has accomplished that forgiveness. We do not pit the Bible against God. Rather, what he has done, this he delivers to us. This he speaks to us. This he gives to us in his word. So it is not simply an encounter with God who looks for our great response to what he has said. It is not even just a great thing or a small thing that he has given for us to do, and then he sits back to see whether we'll take him up on his offer, great or small. But rather, the point is that it is his great word. So it is, when Naaman comes up out of the water, he doesn't say, "Well, I'm actually glad that my servants convinced me and that I listened to what I was told by Elisha." No, he has to go back and talk to him immediately and say, "Now I get it. Now I see how great God is, and that his promise and his word is something I should have grabbed onto immediately." This is the case with everything in the Lord. His promises contain him. They contain him graciously so that he can be ours, because this is what he wants. So it is that we have in this account of Naaman the Syrian being cleansed of his leprosy in the Jordan River a prefigure of holy baptism. And we have it in more than just the outward showing of water, cleansing someone. But especially we have a picture of the greatness of God's word. Yes, God actually said, "Be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that is why we treasure it. More than that, it is a great word. And it is a great word even if we, like Naaman, are tempted to demand some greater sign. Yes, holy baptism is a common thing among us. Holy baptism is a very simple thing to accomplish, pouring water over someone's head, touching them in any way with water. And yet the Word of God has given us this thing. and to cast it aside because it is small or simple or easy and not great would be to miss the gifts that the Lord has for us. But ultimately, just as with the Word of God, we do not view baptism as something contrary to Christ and his faith. We do not think that it is displacing Christ to point someone to holy baptism. It's not displacing salvation by faith. And that is because it is not our work, but it is his. He does not come and speak to us idly, waiting to see what will happen if we'll take him up and really show that we are his. No. He gives holy baptism in order to contain himself so that he can be apprehended in his promises. He includes himself in holy baptism. It is so wonderful in this story that all of the high and mighty people think that it's some kind of trick. And so many people are confused by holy baptism. They think it is a trick. They don't trust our teaching or what we've sung in this hymn. But notice how it is the servants who know how to glory in their master and to love his word, to love when his word proves true and does what it says. Well, so our true prophet Christ has spoken to us, actually. And we will trust his baptism and we will keep it, because it is a great word that he has given to us. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, so our eyes wait on the Lord our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.